son take a 13-line Quran bit. Why not? Hamza, move these chairs away and put them in the back.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praises are for Allah alone. Greatest is Allah. Our loyalty is with Allah. We keep our blind trust in Allah. Our worships and dedications for Allah. Our mornings and evenings for Allah. Just as our lives and deaths are also for Allah. Peace and blessings, greetings and salutations be upon our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Preparation of death. One preparation is the logistical preparations of death. The other preparations are the realistic preparations of the event itself. An example, if somebody is ill, then you would want to make him comfortable. Make sure the bed is comfortable, the pillow is comfortable, the lighting is to his suiting, the temperature in the room is also to his liking. But that's not everything. The main thing is the treatment. Main thing is the treatment of his illness that is more important than his logistical comforts. In the same way with death, one is we can talk about, yes, make sure he's comfortable, he's facing towards the Qibla, make sure you do this, make sure we do this. But ultimately the biggest preparation is your a'mal. Your practices are the biggest preparation and biggest thing that is required. All the rest of the aspects before death are just to make him feel comfortable. Otherwise, ultimately, it's the amal and the practice that is going to do the job. Whilst we are on the subject of preparation for death, as I told you a number of times, in fact, in every lesson so far we've had, that I don't want to be discussing just the logistical parts, which is only secondary. I want to put a lot of emphasis on what is going to be more useful in the longer run after this journey, after you have undertaken this journey. So from that perspective, amal, practice, your deeds. And wallahi, the Sahaba, this is exactly what they did. The Sahabas, really, if somebody was, say example, about to die or somebody's passed away, then they never had these khatams and Qurans and Qurans and after that. No, simple, you bury him, you make dua for maghfirat for him, you read his salatul janaza and that's about it now. They relied a lot on just the practices itself. Saying this, I'm coming to a little, this is just an introduction. Saying this, what I would like to bring to my attention as well as to yours is the 10 days of Zilhajjah starting from tomorrow, most probably. At this time, 1st of Zilhajj will have already started tomorrow night. Thursday night and Friday being the first. This 10-day period of Zilhajj is the biggest preparation of your death. You know, we can talk about the bedding, we can talk about the angels, we can talk about this. But again, all the arrival of the angels and the receptionist angels only depends on your amal and your practice. It's your practice that attracts the angels. It is your practice that makes you comfortable at that time. 10 days of Zilhaj is a very significant time of preparation for death. You will be amazed to know, maybe you don't know. And yesterday I was speaking to the other class as well. In terms of month, as a month package, the best month package is a package of Ramadan, no doubt, as a whole month package. If we talk about individual separate days and nights, then Laylatul Qadr is the best night of the year. If we talk about each single day, then the best single days is the day of Arafah and the 10th of Zilhajj, the day after Arafah. These 2 days as single days are the best days of the year. But when we talk about a single 10-day package, what single 10-day package is the best in the whole year, then ulamas are unanimous that the best single 10-day package is the first 10 days of Zilhajj. Would you believe? They are more significant than even the first 10 days of Ramadan. The second day, 10 days of Ramadan. And they are even better than the last 10 days of Ramadan. Why? Because in the last 10 days of Ramadan, there is only one thing. One of the nights is Laylatul Qadr. Whereas the 10 days of Zilhajj, each day and night is significant. So as a whole 10-day package, the first 10 days of Zilhajj marks as the best 10-day package of the whole year. It's a different case that malpractice of the Ummah has undermined. Malpractice of the Ummah throughout the past many decades has undermined the importance of 10 days of Zilhajj. Just as we have lost spirit of Jummah Salat now, just as we have lost the spirit of many other things in our lives, the spirit of Quran that used to be part of our lives on a daily basis, unfortunately that spirit of Quran and attachment with the Quran is lost now. In the same way, the 10 days of Zilhajj and its spirit has become lost now. That does not mean they are not important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, if you could kindly turn to the Quran to Suratul Fajr. Although this is not my main theme of today's discussion, but whilst we will be on the subject of Zilhajj, if you could kindly turn to Suratul Fajr, it's 833, page 833. The opening verse, Wal-Fajr, this wa in Quran many times it is used as and, wa means and generally. However, in some places wa refers to an oath, it's a letter of an oath. So when we say Wal-Fajri, it means I swear by the Fajr time. Allah says, Wal-Fajri, main qasam khata hoon Fajr ke waqt ki. Allah is saying this. I swear by Fajr time. Now, ulamas have said here Allah is not talking about a Fajr of any day of the year. Here Allah refers to the Fajr of a specific day. And what day is that? The Fajr of the 10th of Zilhajj, the Eid day. Which most probably, Junaid, we are asleep at that time. On the 10th of Zilhajj, the Eid day. Why? Because Fajr Salat is taking place very early and we can't wake up. Allah is swearing by that Fajr time. The Fajr time of the 10th of Zilhajj. Story continues. وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. We all know Ashr in Arabic means 10. Layl or Layali ke mana raat. وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Or main 10 raton ki kasam khata hun, and I swear by the 10 nights. Again, which 10 nights is Allah swearing by? Is it Ramadan? No. We understand from the tafsir of the Quran that Allah is swearing by the 10 nights of the first 10 days of Zilhajj. The first night of Zilhajj, second, third, fourth, fifth, are the first 10 nights of Zilhajj, Allah is swearing by them. Washafi'i, and I swear by the even day. I swear by the even day. Now, which even day is Allah swearing by? Again, ulamas are saying it's the 10th day of Zilhajj. And 10 is an even number. So, washafi'i, I swear by the even day, refers to I swear by the 10th day of Zilhajj. Wal watri, and I swear by the odd day, referring to 9th of Zilhajj, the day of Arafah. Now, if you look at this opening verses of Suratul Fajr, Allah is swearing by different times and days and nights, and they are all related to 10 days of Zilhajj. They're all related to 10 days of Zilhajj. Now, if Allah swears by these days and nights, it goes without saying that these days and nights must have that significance and reverence for Allah to swear by them. Hum to kiski kasam khate hain? Allah ki kasam khate hain, isliye ki Allah Taala se badhkar hamare yahan, Allah hamare nazdeek koi badi cheez aur taqat nahi. We swear by Allah, nothing greater than Allah. When Allah wants to swear by something very important, then yes, these are the articles, times, objects. Sometimes it's the places that Allah swears by. Allah will swear by Makkah. La uqsimu bihadha albalad. Main qasam khata hu is shahr ki. I swear by this city. So sometimes Allah swears by the city, sometimes by time, sometimes by days, sometimes by nights, sometimes by objects. Why? Because those are something very important in the eyes of Allah, very eventful. Saying this, may I prepare myself and yourself for the forthcoming 10 days of Zilhajj. And this will count as a very big preparation towards our death. Ab zindagi guzar gayi, and you've already had 60, 70 years. Now what difference does it make when you turn the bed around here, you turn him around there like this, and you give him zamzam and you give him dates? Ji, ye to vaise ab chote-chote bahane hain. Warna jo karna tha 65 saal tak, 70 saal tak, wo asal tha. That was the real time of preparation for this occasion. For this occasion. And generally we become a bit too absorbed and indulged in logistical articles and items and things. Now suddenly it's all, let us all read Quran and let us all read Yasin. All this is good, no doubt. But ultimately this shouldn't be things that we should totally rely on. What is something to be relied on is your amal. وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Insan ke liye sabse badi mufeed cheez wohi hai jo usne haath se kamai. Hence may I invite you and myself that let us all be together to mark the special occasions of Zilhajj. One of the most nominal practices of these days that we all come together and we make our 5 fard salat in the masjid with jamaat. This is the most nominal duty that everybody has to do. And I'm saying most nominal because this is something that we're supposed to do throughout the year anyway. But to miss them out is something very grave. In the 10 days of Zilhajj, if you miss out on even the most nominal and daily duty, then that is really a grave thing. It's a very bad thing. So that's the nominal duty. Second duty is at least let us create a dhikr of Allah. A lot of dhikr of Allah has been strongly recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. He alayhi salam, in an authentic hadith, directly he has said, during the 10 days of Zilhajj, remember Allah profusely. Repeatedly, excessively, lots of dhikr of Allah. لا إله إلا الله سبحان الله الحمد لله الله أكبر واذكروا الله في أيام معلومات. Remember Allah in these known days. What are these known days? The days of Zilhajj. During the known days of Zilhajj, remember Allah excessively, Allah says in the Quran. So these are special days of remembrance of Allah. If dhikr is so important during these 10 days, can one imagine the importance of further salat, which is even more important, fajr salat, and the rest of the salats. Thirdly, if Allah gives anybody the himmat, fasting has been recommended also. And believe me, once a fasting is in our system, then no matter what we have to go through in this dunya, during war times, jihad times, once we have this element of sacrificing of food and so on, then the task becomes easier for us. Look at the Muslims in Palestine. Starvation, starvation. We're going to stop your food. We're going to stop your food. So it didn't matter much to them. Why? Because we are used to fasting. Fasting is in our system. Sacrifices of food is in our system and we can survive. We have been created from birth. From birth. Fasting, sacrifices, jihad, sacrificing everything in the name of Allah. This is when the time comes and when it comes to the crunch, we are ready to deliver. Why? Because we have been brought up like that. And this time and time over and over again in Afghanistan, Palestine and everywhere, we are witnessing with these eyes that what makes us victorious each time and what makes us so strong each time is the fact that what our iman means to us. And how this iman has changed our ideology and how this iman has made us strong in our deen. So this fasting is one of them. Fasting is one of them. And again, even when if somebody in our family, in under normal circumstances, if somebody dies, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So tomorrow when in mass quantity, if people will die, we'll still say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Because we have been brought up from the very early age of encountering situation like this, whether it's illness, whether it's death, whether it's other tragedies, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So when situation like wars and other situation, unpleasant situation arises, then we already ready mentally, physically, spiritually, psychologically, we already ready. This is where we do good, we do so good, and this is how we succeed. Anyhow, inshallah, we look forward to the arrival of these 10 days starting from tomorrow most probably. As I said just little before Maghrib Salat, I think most of you were not there. Allah says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. Whoever shall respect the symbolic articles of Allah, then this is a sign of his piety of his heart. And whoever, again in another place Allah says, whoever is going to sanctify the symbolic articles of Allah, then this is very good for himself. Now what are these symbolic articles? Azan, Ramadan, Jummah, Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, days of Zilhajj. These are articles, these are regarded as symbolic articles of deen, which signifies these they count as identity of Iman and Islam and the Ummah. When somebody shows respect to them, Allah witnesses that yes, this is a sign of his purity of his heart. So yes, these days are symbolic days of the Ummah and of Iman and Islam. And it's important we show that respect. May I also finally, before we continue on this real subject of death, is Fajr Salat. As we've just read, Allah is swearing by the night time of each night of 10 days of Zilhajj. Allah is swearing by the night. Which means, and then each night starts from Maghrib and finishes at Fajr. Which means if Maghrib, Isha and Fajr, these three salats are of more significance. Maghrib, Isha and Fajr. Because all these three salats, they fall during the night time by which Allah swears. So these three salats are uncompromisable. They may be tough. Isha 11 o'clock. Fajr salat 5 to 3. Gee, best if we don't go to sleep so we can accommodate all those three salats. And that's the whole point of keeping it in the beginning time. So join us for all these three salats, especially during the night time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Subject, we were talking about death, the preparation of death. If somebody is about to pass away in our own family or we are in our deathbed, what should we be doing? We have already mentioned a number of things. The last time we were talking about that we all need to understand that today in that room are not just the family members and the relatives and the friends. They are some invisible creation of Allah, and those are angels. We've also discussed that shaitan is also present at that time. We have discussed in great depth about that. Let me continue. We were discussing the malaika, the angels are there. And we discussed that hence, we should do everything in order to make the arrivals and the visits of malaika comfortable. And they are not comfortable when a dog is found in the house. And we have discussed in great depth about that subject. We have also discussed that wherever in any house an image of a living object is found and displayed and given reverence and importance, angels of rahmah and mercy will not enter in those homes. So you must not have them. If you've got any images at home of your own self, or your own father, your mother, your grandparents, they should be removed. Angels of Rahmah will not enter. Not the angels of death. They will have to enter inevitably. It's the malaika who come to comfort you, to console you. They come as receptionists. They will not come if any of these articles are found in the house. And I have already went into depth about giving you the evidences from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Besides them, there is one individual who should not be there at the time when somebody is about to die. And that is somebody who is in need of a bath. Now hear me out. On this subject, whether somebody who is in need of a bath, in other words, in Sharia is called Junub. And in Urdu we say it Junubi. In other words, a man who, a person who is in need of a bath. Question is whether somebody of that nature should be there at that time before death or not. There is one hadith of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that says, "Inna al-malaikata la tadkhulu baytan fihi junub." Angels will not enter a house where a junubi admi, a man who is in need of a bath, is found. Some ulamas have said this hadith is za'if. There are a number of defects in the chain of the narrators of this hadith, and many scholars say this is not valid. And they also argue that our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he would be in need of a bath at home, he was married with multiple women, radiyallahu anhunna, not always he immediately used to have a bath instantly. On most occasions, he would delay his bath until Tahajjud Salat. Although, one thing he would always do is at least he would make wudu. He would make wudu and then go to sleep. And then for Tahajjud Salat, he would wake up and have a bath. Hence, in the light of the practice of our Nabi alayhi salam, many muhaddithin are of the opinion that this hadith cannot be valid because Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's practice is different. He would be junubi. He would be in need of a bath and he was visited by the angels all the time. There are other scholars who say that no, the hadith is valid because there is another hadith which is authentic hadith, where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said there are three types of people the angels of mercy will not come anywhere near them. And who are these three people? They count, he alayhi salam has counted as jifatul kafir, a dead body of a kafir, somebody who has now died in kufr. Until he had died, there was hope that maybe he will reconcile with Allah and he will believe in Allah and he will recognize his master and creator. But the moment he dies, now sadly he has died as a kafir, means as a rebel against Allah. He has been a rebel of Allah, not just disobedient like me and you, but he has died as a rebel. Not even accepting Allah his own Allah. Example, a son doesn't accept his father as his father. That's how bad it is. Hence, the angels of Rahmat will not come anywhere near him. He is not worthy of respect anymore. And the second person the hadith counts is Al-Mutadhammikhu bil-Khaluq. Somebody who has slapped this special perfume called khaluq, which only used to be used by women, but if a man uses it, then angels of mercy will not come near such a person who uses women's perfume, which are exclusively for women. And khaluq was a kind of perfume that was made of saffron added with some other articles as well. And generally women would be using it, which gave more color rather than the smell spreading far and wide. And generally these perfumes were used by women only. So he alayhi salam says, whoever uses such perfumes, angels of Rahmat will not enter, and they do not come near such a person. Because Islam wants to see the clear distinction between the genders. Men are men and they should behave like men. Women are women and they should behave like women. Once you start to mix and match, this is when we begin to suffer what the world is suffering today. Transgender, 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 transgender. If we keep it from the very beginning, however Allah has designed each gender and given them their roles, everybody will just need to respect these roles given by their master and creator, by their designer and manufacturer. Stick to that plan. Hence, this is regarded as a grave sin, and it should. This is why the hadith says, may Allah's curse be upon a man who emulates a woman. And may Allah's curse be upon a woman who emulates a man. Islam wants to see a clear distinction between the two genders. And a third person counted amongst those people whom the angels will not visit them, the angels of mercy will not visit them. Hadith says, "Wal junub ma lam yatawadda." A junubi person, a man who is in need of a ghusl, and he does not even have a bath. So yes, a person who has not made, who is in the condition of having a bath, and he does not even make the nominal wudu, okay, he can delay the ghusl, but he cannot delay wudu, he should do wudu. In the light of this hadith, many scholars are of the opinion that it is a good practice, wherever possible, that a junubi man who is in need of a bath should not be around a person who is about to die. Because he is blocking the entry of the angels. They recommend. Although, for example, somebody, and they refer that this hadith refers to somebody who is in need of a bath not for legal reasons. He is in need of a bath because of illegal reasons. He has been fornicating, committing adultery, and that's why ghusl is necessary on him. Muhaddisin say, such junubi are not visited by the angels, not the normal ones. Some muhaddisin says this refers to those junubi who don't make their ghusl until maybe days or even 1 or 2 days, that even fard salat has become qaza. And they have delayed their ghusl until then. It refers to such people. Anyhow, generally the consensus of the ulamas is, when a person is about to die, then if possible, if this person is not needed, then he should not be around. Which person? Somebody is in need of a bath. How long does it take to have a shower? Quickly jump to the bathroom, to the shower, have a shower, and you can come out and continue. Question is now next, what about a woman who is in her menstrual period? Is she supposed to be there or not? Ulama have drawn an analogy from Junubi that if Junubi is not allowed to stay there, better that a woman who is in her menses, she is not even around, that is better. Although there is no direct mentioning of women in menses not being allowed at that time, it's not been directly, explicitly mentioned by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that women in menses should not be around. It's not been mentioned, but ulamas draw an analogy that if junubi is not allowed, then let's make qiyas and say that yes, haiz women and women in haiz should also prevent. So better women who are not needed at that time, they stay away. However, if there is a daughter, she needs to attend her father, her mother, and there's nobody around, then of course there is no harm. But if whenever possible, better if such women also refrain. This is why in Beshti Zevar Samar, Hazrat Mu'ana Ashraf Ali Thanvi also writes this, and not just him, Imam Shafi, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they all say that it is disliked for a woman in that state to be there except if necessary. It's not haram, it's not guna, but better to avoid if possible. Next, how do we make the stay of the angels of Rahmah comfortable? Then you've got to know that in the light of Hadith, what things are angels comfortable with and what things they are not comfortable with. So there are 1 or 2 things that angels are also not comfortable with. They are not comfortable with bad odors. And they are not comfortable with filth and najasat. He alayhi salatu wasalam had announced to the Sahaba in his time that whoever man akala min hadhihi shajara fala yaqrubanna masjidana, whoever shall eat from these 2 vegetables, referring to onions and garlic, he said that he must not come to our masjid. And then he gave the reason, fa innal malaikata tata'adha mimma yata'adha minhu banu adam, because the angels also become offended with the same bad odors that human beings also become offended with. So if humans, they become offended with bad odors like garlic and onions, then angels also, they become uncomfortable with these bad odors. So bad odors in the room should not be present. In other words, make sure the room has good fragrance and not bad fragrance. Now, not necessarily somebody is going to have a full takeaway meal there at that time, and we're talking about that. We're talking about chances are because the ill person and the person who is about to die, he may have accidents now and then. So make sure you keep his bed linen and his clothes as clean as possible. Sometimes it may be very difficult because the accidents are too often. And it may not be possible to keep his clothes and a bed linen pack all the time. But yes, wherever possible, you make sure that the clothes and the bed linen are as pack as possible. Because if the angels become offended with the bad odors of onions and garlic, then one can imagine about our own human najasat. It goes without saying. So where possible, bed linen and everything should be kept pack. Next, when somebody you feel that this could be his last moments, then there is something that you have been advised to do, which is called talqeen. Talqeen means a reminder. And what does that refer to? It refers to reminding the patient of reading La ilaha illallah. This is called talqeen. Talqeen means reminder. Reminding somebody of something is called talqeen. Here on this subject, talqeen refers to reminding the patient to make his final utterance and to keep his final utterance La ilaha illallah. This is called talqeen. And this is sunnah, to remind somebody at the time of death to read La ilaha illallah is sunnah. He alayhi salatu wasalam has said, Laqinu mawtakum La ilaha illallah, rawahu Muslim, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, who is the second biggest muhaddith known in the history of Iman and Islam. He has narrated this hadith in his book, Laqinu mautakum, remind your dead. Dead here refers to the one who have neared their deaths. Remind your dead of deaths of to read La ilaha illallah. Because our Nabi alayhi salam has said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi La ilaha illallah dakhal al jannah. Whoever's final utterance shall be La ilaha illallah, it is guaranteed that he will enter Jannah. If his books of deeds are closing on La ilaha illallah, you know, he's uttered so many things. He's been a speaker, a lecturer, a talker, you call it. And he's been talking all his life for last 60, 70, 80 years. But if his final saying is La ilaha illallah, this is when he concludes his speech and becomes a dumb from now, then yes, this is an endorsement and a guarantee for his iman and entry into Jannah. Of course, this does not mean, please get this right, it doesn't mean if somebody could not make his last utterance La ilaha illallah because they were unconscious at the time, they were surrounded with machinery, or there was nobody to remind him. It doesn't mean that he could not read La ilaha illallah for any reason. That does not mean he has not died as a Muslim. Everybody's died as a Muslim. Whoever has died still believing in Allah, whether he made his last utterance La ilaha illallah or not. However, if somebody will make his last utterance La ilaha illallah, it's a bonus and it's a confirmation and a guarantee. So never judge anybody because they didn't read La ilaha illallah for any reason that usko kalima naseeb nahi hua. Storyan to banana bahut aata hai na, usse to kalima bhi naseeb nahi hua. No, never say that. Everybody's died with iman for as long as they remained on iman and they did not reject iman and Islam before they died. One day our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to visit a man, Ansari Sahabi, and he said, he reminded him, he made talqeen to him. He said, Ya Khal, O my uncle, O my mamu, read La ilaha illallah. So he turned around, he said, O Prophet of Allah, you call me uncle or you call me, no, you call me mamu or you call me chacha. So Prophet said, No, I'll call you mamu. So he said, Okay. The man asked Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if I did this, is it going to be beneficial at this time as well? He alayhi salam said, Yes, it will be beneficial even if you read at this time. So yes, he alayhi salatu was salam, verbally he has told us that yes, talqeen is a good practice. By his practice we also know that he has also reminded others to read kalima la ilaha illallah. Anas radiyallahu anhu, which you know that he was a most nearest servant and attendant of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who came for his khidmat from the age of when he was 10. And he alayhi salam died at the when he alayhi salam passed away, Anas radiyallahu anhu was about 20. Anyhow, when Anas radiyallahu anhu was about to die and he was in his deathbed, he was asking people, laqinu li la ilaha illallah, remind me to read la ilaha illallah. And he was reading la ilaha illallah and he's telling people, remind me to read la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. And the historians record that by he continuously he was saying this and he passed away. So yes, talqeen and reminding somebody to read kalima is not an Indian subcontinent culture. It's not Pakistani culture. This is from hadith. And this is also more important. This is even more important for who? For somebody who is kafir. This is more important for somebody who is kafir. And even Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done this. Who am I talking about now? Can you tell me? Abu Talib. Okay. He alayhi salatu wasalam. You know the blind support that Abu Talib, although he was not a Muslim, but the blind support he gave to his nephew, he alayhi salatu wasalam. And he battling the Quraysh throughout the entire career. So here alayhi salam, if there was one person who he wanted him to be a Muslim, was Abu Talib, because of his favors. So now Abu Talib was in his deathbed. He was surrounded by all the very big chiefs of the tribe. Abu Jahl, Utba, Shayba, and all the rest all were surrounded by his bed as well. They were also for a reason. They knew that maybe Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will change him. So they were there for that reason also. And he alayhi salatu wasalam also took the opportunity to be there. And he said to Abu Talib, my uncle, he said, Ya Am, O my uncle, Qul la ilaha illallah. And on the day of Qiyamah, I will argue for you on the basis of this kalima. You just have to read this kalima, all the rest I will do the job for you on the day of Qiyamah. And immediately, those chiefs of Quraysh saying, Ya Aba Talib, atarghabu an millati abik? Are you saying that you are going to turn away from the millat and from the religion of your father, Abdul Muttalib? And they were staring at him, and they would not allow him to do that. While his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept on reminding him to say la ilaha illallah, they were constantly discouraging him. Finally, Abu Talib, he said, ala millati abi Abdul Muttalib, I shall remain on the religion of my father Abdul Muttalib. And he passed away. The point I'm trying to make is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded a kafir. Oh no, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time he said, I shall continue wallahi inni la astaghfiranna lahu ma lam unha anhu. After even he passed away, he said, I will continue to seek Allah's forgiveness for him until I am prohibited. Until I am prohibited. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in the Holy Quran. If you turn to page 360, page 285. Page 285, para 11. fourth line from the top, verse number 113, 285. Let's go through it. Remember, the whole purpose is to become more and more attached with the Quran. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِي. It is not appropriate for the Nabi. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Neither is it appropriate for the believers. أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. That they should do istighfar for mushrikeen. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى. Even though they may be their relatives. مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. After it has already been revealed and exposed that they are people of the hellfire. So now Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was prohibited. That it is not appropriate for the Nabi and for the believers to seek forgiveness for mushrikeen, even though they may be their relatives, after it has become apparent that they have died as kafir. This is when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stopped making istighfar for his uncle. One day our Nabi alayhi is here, he did not succeed in making his uncle read la ilaha illallah. But there was another occasion. You won't believe, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Jews and the Muslims, they live together in Medina. And just like the Muslims in India, they live with Hindus together. And although they have different religion, but sometimes they friend in and out of each other's house as well. So in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a Jewish boy. Don't think about the Jews today, because you won't be able to otherwise get the... You won't be able to put the story together. There was a Jewish boy of only about 10 years old or something like that. And all the time he used to help our Nabi alayhi salam with the water of wudu. He would get it for him. He would get his Mubarak slippers for him and get them ready. This Jewish boy. Suddenly one day this Jewish boy, he fell ill. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to visit him in their house. In the house of the Jew. The father was there, the child is in the bed, and apparently he was about to die. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, he said, ya ghulam, qul la ilaha illallah. He said, aslim, become a Muslim and say la ilaha illallah. So the child, he looked at his father from his deathbed. The father was there. So what did the father say? The father didn't say, kill all the Muslims wherever you find them, like they are saying today. The father said, Ati' Abul Qasim. Follow what Abul Qasim is telling you to do. Abul Qasim jo tumhe keh rahe hain, wo karo. And the boy said, La ilaha illallah, and he passed away. Hadith of Bukhari says Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out of the house thanking Allah, Alhamdulillah alladhi anqadhahu min an-nar. All praise be to Allah who protected him from the hellfire, because he read kalima la ilaha illallah. So yes, it is good, a very good practice, even more important practice, that a kafir is reminded. Remember, we have no problems against any kafir. We don't hate kafir. We hate kufr. We hate the disease. Okay, the disease, the bimari. But we don't hate the bimar, the patient. We hate the disease, but not the diseased. So yes, we should be like interested that may he become a Muslim. It would be nice if he... So whenever there is an opportunity and you are around somebody who you know, any Tom, Dick and Harry that you know, Junaid, then yes, take an opportunity to tell him to read La ilaha illallah. Ji, any good questions before we continue? It It's a very, very debatable issue amongst muhaddithin where exactly the children are going to be. The children, Muslim children, definitely in Jannah. In other words, the children of Muslim family. The children of others, where exactly their situation is, this is very, very highly debatable. And there is no confirmation one way or the other.
तो उस्ताद जी उसे कहते हैं अनकही। तो उस्ताद जी क्या होता था कि जब किसी की जान ही निकल रही होती थी ना, किसी हिंदू की, तो उनके अपने माँ बाप ये कहते थे कि भाई जो आज तक नहीं कहा वो एक पूरी एक वर्ष है ना पूरी, जो आज तक नहीं कहा वो कह दो। तो ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह पढ़वाते थे उससे, ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह मोहम्मद रसूलुल्लाह, जैसे वो पढ़ता था उसकी जान निकल जाती थी। और उस्ताद जी काफ़ी कॉमन था वहाँ पर ना। तो उस्ताद जी इस तरह से अगर मतलब किसी का आखिर में इस तरह से हो रहा है, और ये चीज़ बहुत मतलब ये सुना है कि ये चीज़ उनके यहाँ बड़ी रिवाज थी है ना, तो सर इसका कुछ आपको है इसका,
इसका ये माशाल्लाह यहाँ कितने डॉक्टर हैं, डॉक्टर जावेद भी हैं, आप लोग जितने नर्स हैं, अगर ये प्रैक्टिस आप लोग बनाओ, उस बूढ़े को कहो मिस्टर स्मिथ को, मिस्टर स्मिथ ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह, देयर इज़ नो गॉड बिसाइड्स अल्लाह। दूसरी बात, ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह अरबी में पढ़ाना ज़रूरी नहीं है, ही जस्ट नीड्स टू बिलीव इन इट, देयर इज़ नो गॉड एक्सेप्ट अल्लाह, I believe in Allah. Ji. Ji, any good question related to the subject is possible.
एक last question है, ये जो ना मुस्लिम होते हैं खासकर पाकिस्तान में जो होते हैं, जो मसीही लोग होते हैं, उनसे नाली वगैरह और ये जो काम साफ करने का होता है वो लिया जाता है पाकिस्तान में, जिसको भंगी वगैरह कहते हैं, तो वो लोग जो है उनका काम बस ये होता है कि वो पाखाना वगैरह साफ करते रहते हैं, तो उन लोगों का क्या होगा, वो आखिर में अल्लाह से क्या कहेंगे कि भाई हमने तो दुनिया में हम भंगी रहे और आखिर में हम दोजख में जाएंगे, तो उन लोगों का क्या होगा, क्योंकि गैर मुस्लिमों के लिए तो ये दुनिया है कि वो यहाँ पे मज़े करेंगे और खूब ऐशो इशरत करेंगे, लेकिन उस जैसे लोग जो गैर मुस्लिम भी है और उनकी ज़िंदगी भी इस तरह गुजरती है, उनका क्या होगा।
Has given every human being and every living creature the ability to recognize their creator. No matter what sort of low caste of family he belongs to. Lekin ye akal aur samajh har ek ko Allah Taala ne di hai ki mera khaliq koi hai nahi hai, koi ho sakta hai nahi ho sakta. इसका ये कम अज़ कम अल्लाह ने जो सलाहियत दी है उसका फ़र्ज बनता है कि इसकी तहकीक में उतरे और अल्लाह को माने। ये कोई नई चीज़ नहीं है, इसलिए कि व्हेन अल्लाह क्रिएटेड द सोल्स ही मेड एवरी सोल से ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह। बिफोर वी वर सेंट टू दिस वर्ल्ड देयर वाज अ वेरी वेरी बिग असेंबली, द असेंबली एज बिग एज द असेंबली ऑफ द डे ऑफ क़यामा, in which everybody was present, but they were all present in the form of souls, of ruh. On that occasion in the assembly hall, Allah asked, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَى, they all said in a single voice, why not? Anji. So it's not a new lesson, it's not a new lesson, it's just a forgotten lesson. And there are enough evidences living around them, the sky and the moon and the everything else around them, the crops, vegetation and everything else, even wafi anfusikum afala tubsirun, do you not even see within your own structure, human structure, gee, the powers of Allah, and he can be recognized by that. But if they fail to do so, then no matter what sort of jobs they were up to, how low or how illiterate, Quran declares them all as kafirs.
Ustaz ji, meri bachche ne jab wo 9 saal ki thi to usne mujhe bada masoomana sawal kiya, mujhe bhi uska jawab nahi aata. Usne kaha, baba maulana sahab jo hai na, maulana shuba mein hamesha ye kehte hain ki humne jo hai wo oath kiya hai Allah taala ke sath ki alastu bi rabbi, to बाबा मुझे याद नहीं है वो कि मैंने कब किया था वो अल्लाह मियाँ के साथ, तो आपको याद है कि आपने कब किया था? तो उस्ताद जी उसका मैं मतलब क्या जवाब दूं उसका उसको?
जी उसका याद तो मुझे भी नहीं है और आपको भी नहीं है, किसी को भी नहीं है, लेकिन जब कुरान अल्लाह ताला ने दिया तो अल्लाह ताला ने याद दिलाया है, अल्लाह ने कुरान में भुला हुआ सबक याद दिलाया है कि मैंने तुमसे ये अहद लिया था। तो जब कुरान ने याद दिलाया है तो बहुत सी चीज़ें ऐसी होती हैं कि हमें याद नहीं होती, लेकिन हमें कोई याद दिलाता है तो हमें मानना पड़ता है। कोई कहता है मैंने आपको पैसे दे दिए थे, आपको याद नहीं है, लेकिन मानना पड़ेगा वो याद दिला रहा है। जी तो हमें याद न होना इस बात की अलामत नहीं है कि हमसे अहद नहीं लिया गया था।
उन्होंने अपना ईमान ले आए थे लेकिन वो जाहिर नहीं किया, मौलाना इसहाक साहब अल्लाह जन्नत नसीब करे उनको, उनका बड़ा बयान है इस बारे में ना, तो ये खुला खुला कहना क्या कोई कंट्रोवर्शियल नहीं है?
It is true that out of love and respect for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we feel hesitant to call his uncle Abu Talib as a non-believer. हमें अच्छा नहीं लगता इसलिए कि हुजूर सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम को इनसे बहुत मोहब्बत थी, एंड ही इज डन सो मच फॉर प्रॉफिट सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम। बट द रियलिटीज आर द रियलिटीज व्हिच हैज बीन मेंशन इन बुखारी एंड मुस्लिम, ऑल दीज रियलिटीज। नाउ इट्स अ डिफरेंट केस, समटाइम्स आउट ऑफ एक्सेस लव फॉर प्रॉफिट सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम वी आर डिफेंडिंग सर्टन इंडिविजुअल्स। जी अंकल अबू तालिब, all Shias, they believe that Abu Talib was a Muslim. Why? Because they believe in Ali, and this is Ali's father. So no way, we can't say Ali's father was a kafir. So all Shias, very strongly they believe that Abu Talib was a Muslim.
मौलाना इसहाक साहब तो वो अली तशी में नहीं से,
अब जो भी है चलो वो शिया नहीं है, वो तो मैं जिम्मेदार नहीं हूँ कोई क्या किसी का अकीदा क्या किसी का किया, लेकिन हमने हमारे तबके में ऐसा कभी सुना है कि भाई अबू तालिब के लिए दुआ करो या हुजूर सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने उनके लिए दुआ की है। फिर ये आयत क्यों नाजिल हुई, ये आयत क्यों नाजिल हुई कि मुशरिकीन के लिए दुआ नहीं कर सकते तुम, ये इस पर नाजिल हुई है, मुफस्सिरीन का इस पर इज्मा है।
कंट्रोवर्शियल बन गया उस्ताद जी फिर?
हाँ जी इस तरह कंट्रोवर्शियल कह सकते हो,
पर इस पे खामोशी अख्तियार करना जायज है फिर? क्या
इसको अननेसेसरी उछालना नहीं चाहिए?
सही,
जहाँ जरूरत नहीं है,
सही,
जहाँ ईमान की हमारे और अल्लाह की कुदरत बयान करना हो तो बेशक बयान करना पड़ेगा तो बयान करेंगे, लेकिन अननेसेसरीली टू अंडरमाइन प्रॉफिट सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम एंड हिज फैमिली, उनको जानबूझ के उछालना ये गलत है। हाँ तो वही फिर वो होगा तब्बत के अदा
नहीं, वो तो ओपन है उस्ताद जी, बस ओपन अबू जहल के तो बारे में सामने सामने हदीस है, यू नो वो तो ओपन है, लेकिन
असल ये है कि इसमें फिर क्या आप सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम जनाजे में गए, आपने दफनाया? जी
भाजी मैं
ये सब दलीलें जो हैं ना वो सब उसी तरफ जा रही है कि वो मुसलमान इस्लाम नहीं ला सके।
उलमा का जी डिफरेंट ओपिनियन है, इसलिए मैं बोल रहा था भी इसको
उछालना नहीं चाहिए, बहरहाल ये बात तो तय। जी अब्दुल रहमान लास्ट का जी
व्हाट इज द जनरल क्वेश्चन इन टर्म्स ऑफ ऑल दीस पीपल आस्किंग दिस क्वेश्चन बट हाउ डज दैट इफेक्ट हाउ डू दे लाइक नाउ सो व्हाई यू नो फॉर मी टू अंडरस्टैंड व्हाई डू पीपल आस्क दिस क्वेश्चंस व्हाट डिफरेंस डज इट मेक फॉर द लाइफ
ट्रू। So this is why generally I like to entertain questions which relate our practical life rather than just raising questions for the sake of it or just for the increase of knowledge where sometimes things can even go wrong, and better to avoid energy. Anyhow, time is up, it's already late.
It's a good practice to ask questions, otherwise you will not know.
Chalo, azan de do. Hamza.
اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ اشہد ان محمد رسول اللہ اشہد ان محمد رسول اللہ حی علی الصلاۃ حی الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمد الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
الله اكبر سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتعالى جدك ولا إله إلا غيرك ربنا من الشيطان بسم الله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم سمع الله لمن حمده
اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد كثيرا
الله اكبر
سبحان ربي العظيم
الله أكبر
اغفر لنا ارحمنا
الله أكبر
سبحان ربي الأعلى سبحان ربي الأعلى
الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر
سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي
سمع الله لمن حمده
اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد كثيرا
الله أكبر
سبحان ربي سبحان ربي الأعلى ربي الأعلى
الله أكبر
اغفر لله
الله أكبر
سبحان ربي الأعلى سبحان ربي
الأعلى الله أكبر
التحيات
الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا
الله أكبر
سبحان ربي سبحان ربي العظيم
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
سبحان ربي سبحان ربي العظيم
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
سبحان ربي سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم
سمع الله لمن حمده
اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد
الله أكبر
سبحان ربي سبحان ربي الأعلى سبحان ربي الأعلى Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر
تحيات لله والسلام عليك السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسوله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
استغفر الله استغفر الله
Brothers, the qurbani that you have placed an order of in West Bengal and elsewhere is not the real qurbani. The real qurbani starts from tomorrow Maghrib time. And this qurbani will continue for 10 days. And this is ultimately the biggest qurbani required. Not the qurbani of an innocent animal somewhere in the foreign land of 10 pounds and 15 pounds. So please, let's roll our sleeves up and let's all get ourselves in the gear from tomorrow. Maghrib Salat, keep a record of 50 Salats during these 10 days. See how much we can make them in Salat in the Masjid.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar.